Hey sailors, I'm Justin.
And I'm Marcella.
And this is Sailor Manga, the podcast where we become the true sailor guardians of manga by reading some of our favorites and reviewing them to our heart's content. Happy Manga Day, Marcella. How the hell are ya?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. A little disheartened by the fake out this past week, but we'll talk about that later.
We will. I feel really thrown because we don't usually start recording straight away, do we?
And I know, true.
I know. I'm like, where's the foreplay? We've just gone straight in. So I'm a little bit... I'm a bit discombobulated.
Oh, damn it.
But I'm all right. Keep going.
Good. Okay. Today, y'all, we're going to be reading chapter 12 of Rose and Blood. We're about halfway through the volume already, which is crazy.
What? Can't be. We literally just did the
first. Yeah, I think 15 is the final chapter in 3.
Wow.
And we're not halfway through. 11 started it. I'm just crazy. Don't listen.
Yeah,
to me.
I was thinking, but we literally just started it.
I'm just absolutely crazy. But anyway, before we read that, we got a subtle moon news. So Marcella, what you got?
What have I got? Very good question. Just some little bits. So Paul and I are going to the cinema after this.
What are you going to see?
So we're going to go and see Dune Part 2.
Oh, yes.
Dune Part 2.
Yeah, thank you.
Which I'm very excited about because I just adore Timothée Chalamet. I love him. Obviously I've seen Part 1. Didn't see it at the cinema. We watched it on home premiere because it was, when it came out, I think it was when I was poorly with my, when I'd been in hospital and that, you know, those few years back. Yes, I'm very excited about Part 2. We're actually going to the cinema to see it this time because we have to see it on the big screen and we're going to the IMAX.
Nice.
So I'm excited for that. Paul's very excited. He was like bouncing around the house yesterday like a little kid.
Aww,
it was very cute. He was like running around. He didn't know what to do with himself. I was like, how adorable. And then he came upstairs and was like, kind of, I was like shaming him here. It's not shaming him actually, but he came upstairs and he was like doing this kind of like little robot type dance. And I was like, look at you all excited to get out of the house. Whereas I need to mentally prep to leave the house on a weekend.
Literally, so. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I'll be doing that. I'm going to have a nice bath after this and then, you know, do my deep breathing. And then what else? Oh, there have been a couple of good collabs lately with little sort of bits that I like. So there's this company, I want to say it's called Kitsch, could be wrong, but they basically make satin pillowcases, and
ooh,
which are good for, they're good for anybody really, but they're good for, you know, hair, for keep, you know, so you're not sleeping on a cotton pillowcase and you wake up looking like John Bon Jovi, you know, so that's a really old reference, isn't it? I was trying to think of something more current and hip, but I couldn't.
It's okay.
And it's good for your skin, and then they do satin scrunches for your hair, and they do these, you know, heatless curler things.
Yeah.
So they're all about hair care.
Love
and
it.
They do lots of collabs. So they did like a Stranger Things one. They did a Disney Princess one, which is the pillowcase I got because it was really cute. They've only gone and announced 2 more collabs. And I'm just like, you're wrecking my wallet because they're doing Wonder Woman.
Nice.
And BTS.
Oh, shit. It's over.
But it's the BTS. It's the BT21. So, you know, their little kind of like cartoon counterparts.
Oh, yes. Yes,
which was like that ColourPop collection that they did a couple of years ago or whenever that was. So I'm going to have to buy more. But it's always good to have like, you know, a spare backups.
Yeah, true. It's always good to have a y'all.
Exactly. A y'all. And then speaking of ColourPop, they are literally hours ago just announced their next collaboration and they're doing Pokemon.
We love to see it.
So I shared that with you and Triss. Not sure what it will involve. I think it most likely will come out next week. I probably won't get the eyeshadow palette because it's probably going to be, I imagine it'll be like a rainbow palette.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, and I'm not, that's not really my vibe. It's not 2016 and...
Right.
I'm older. But I'm hoping that they'll do some kind of like cute little blushes.
A Jigglypuff blush would be really cute.
Jigglypuff blush, I feel like that has to happen. And I wouldn't mind some kind of like eyeliner, like Bulbasaur eyeliner, because I have a bit of a soft spot for Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur. Aw.
He's just too cute.
It was very cute.
Yeah, and then that's it. Just music stuff, really.
Mmm.
And the music, I just wanted to mention that. Speaking of, again, BTS, V from BTS released another solo project, which, because he's the last one that's going to be enlisting. He's already had his hair cut shorter ahead of, you know, the buzz. Mm-hmm. And he'd released an EP, but then this was just like a little standalone single.
Okay.
And it was called Let's Put the End in Friends. And I adore it. It's criminally short. It's like 2 minutes. Let me just find out the exact.
Yeah, when I gave it a listen, I was like, oh, this is a short one. Okay.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 minutes. I mean, put a bridge in there. No, they couldn't have, the creative writing team couldn't have like put a bit of overtime in.
Oh, no.
Anyway, but I love it. It's very doo-woppy.
Mm-hmm.
And the music video is very well done. I just 10 out of 10 for me. I looped it all day Friday.
Hell yeah.
Loved it. And then I just wanted to touch, because I feel like we were still in our, I mean, I still am in my Sabrina era.
Mm-hmm.
at the roller disco.
Mm-hmm.
But Ariana's, I can't remember how into Ariana we were last time we recorded.
I was just getting started. You had told your top three.
Right. Okay. Had I?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, so I was in. Okay. I'm still in. I'm still in, and I still can't get enough of We Can't Be Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention it again because it's consuming me.
Hell yeah.
And I'm just like, I saw some comment that really tickled me, and it was people were discussing the album. And everybody's sort of saying how amazing it is. And then somebody was, you know, oh, but she's so problematic because, you know, obviously what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody has commented like, I'm sorry, but this completely undoes any of that. She's exonerated. It just made me laugh because I was thinking, yeah, she kind of is exonerated. She's not, but at the same time she kind of is. It's kind of like bad behavior, amazing album, cancelled out,
there you go.
That's the way it's gotta be.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's about it. What about you?
Well, since we're already talking about Sabrina and Ariana, I'm still spinning Sabrina, which is kind of crazy because it's been, I feel like I had just started listening to it at the start of March.
Yeah.
And I literally have not stopped. Like, there hasn't been a single day where I haven't listened to it at least once all the way through. So
yeah.
my Apple replay for March is just going to be Sabrina, Sabrina, Sabrina.
Yes.
Fully expected. So I did get into Ariana enough to where I listened to the album several times all the way through, trying to find my top three, which I do have. But I have stopped listening to it, and I've just gone back to Sabrina.
Nice.
Not because it's bad. I don't know. I'm on this. I took a little detour to Eternal Sunshineville, but now I'm fully back at Emil's Plaza. Like, I got to go back, you know.
I've made a playlist, which is a combination of all my favorite songs on both albums, and I've just called it Eternal Emails.
Yeah, I made one called BRB. It's Disco Night at the Roller Rink.
Yes.
Both songs. or both albums, and I listened to that all the way through several times. But then I just listened to Ariana on her own for a couple days, and then I was like, you know what? I think I'm good, and I went back to Sabrina.
Nice.
But yeah, talking it's Sabrina, really good.
So this is just a little heads up for when we do our March replay. Mm-mm. But she's already been, you know, the replay 2024. Mm. The stats are already shifting in my replay in the replay playlist.
Ah, I see.
Sabrina's starting to move up the ranks.
Mm.
And I already have 3 songs of hers in my top 10.
Shit. I'm so, kind of scared to see what mine's going to look like. I'm really, there was also a day where I spend Reputation on repeat. So we'll see how that fares.
I was surprised you did that, actually. I was too angry.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, my top 3, the third one's still kind of wobbly, but because that one kind of switches out depending on the mood that I'm in. My number 1 is End of the World. I know it's the intro, and I know it's the shortest song on the album, if you don't count the interlude, the Saturn Returns. But I fucking love it. I'm a fucking whore for a good melody, and that melody just gets me good.
Yeah.
My second favorite is the title track, Eternal Sunshine. Because it's just so good. I especially like the pre-chorus, the now we play our separate scenes, because I love how she sings it. It's just so it's so good. But my number 3, I'll pick True Story, just because that one's been stuck in my head more than the other one. But it honestly interchanges with I Don't Want to Break Up Again.
Right.
I love that one so much. So that's probably like my number 4, but they're honestly interchangeable. I really enjoy both of them very, very much. I've really come around to The Boy Is Mine and Supernatural, which is nice.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what? It's really funny to me because while I like We Can't Be Friends, it's probably one of my least favorites.
That's fair.
I don't know. I don't know why, because it's very Ariana meets Robin, which I love. I love Robin. But I don't know. There's something about it that's just low. It's probably lower than Yes And for me, even.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, Yes And has really grown on me, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I didn't think it would, because I was just like, this like Madonna-esque copy.
It's actually Madonna.
Yeah. But now I'm kind of like, all right, I'll give her a pass. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of vibing with it. I'm glad that you like True Story, though. Very much.
Well, it's so one. Dark poppy. And I think that's why I like it. Like, yes. I'll play the villain if you need me
to. Oh, I know. It's so good. I feel like I hate referring to anything now as the vigilante shit of the album, because that just feels unfair. But it is. It is that track.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it's been good. Like I said, I think I listened to Sabrina all the way through 3 times just yesterday. Like, it's really bad. Right. It's a sickness.
It's fine. It's a good sickness to have.
Yesterday I was doing yard work, which was terrible, because we're in that time of the year where they're going to start mowing my grass again. So I was having to clear all the like the dead branches that have fallen in the winter over like the past like couple of days. It's been fine except for the past couple of days, and I'm like, I've got to move all this shit. So I was out there for a while, enough to listen to the album 3 times in a row. But yeah, I'm still spinning her. I can't let go. I have a feeling I'm gonna be here until Poets comes out.
That's fun.
So much so that I'm like, damn.
We can hang out at the roller rink when Poets comes. Well, actually, we're gonna have to move to the barn because Beyonce's coming. So we're gonna have to do a bit of barn dancing.
Yeah, we'll see if I get into it. I have a feeling I'm not gonna get that into it, but we'll see.
I have a funny feeling you won't either. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I feel like you won't. Do you know what I think? Right, I think you won't, and then it'll hit you later.
I think it'll be a reverse renaissance for me.
Yeah, I think so. And for me too, because I was the opposite, wasn't I? I was not into renaissance, and then I was.
Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna flip for, it's officially called Cowboy Carter.
I love the cover.
So someone made an edit, which I think is hilarious. So you know the Renaissance cover of her on the disco horse?
Yes.
Someone made an edit of, it's still her sitting, but it's on like a giant rooster.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, this might be my Calvin Carter cover if I get into the album.
Yeah. I like the sound because, of that.
You know, I love a continued theme.
Yes.
And since this is act two of her three-act project, which I wonder what act three is going to be. Like, we've got disco, dance, house music for act one.
Somebody said rock. Cool.
If Beyonce does rock before Taylor, I'm going to be so upset. If I'm being honest. But that'll be fun. Steering away from music for a little bit. As you listeners may have known, of course, Marcella already knows, but I'm not exactly, what's the right word? Content with my current employment, to say the least. So I've been going on interviews this week. So that's been something I've been doing. I had an interview Friday.
Yeah.
Right? It went well on my end. I was getting bad vibes. So I'm not sure about that. But I've got an interview tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. Because I think I've said it before, but this 10:30 to 7, it ain't it.
No.
I hate this shift so much. But we'll see how that goes. I'm almost done editing my second book, Suffer. I've got two chapters left to edit, and they're behemoth chapters. They're so fucking long. So it's going to take me, a little longer to get through these last two behemoth chapters. But then I'll be implementing the edits. So that'll be done over the next like month or two. Everything's coming along swimmingly. Yes. So that's good. And then a movie that Alan and I watched last night. Before we talk about Taylor, I watched Poor Things.
Oh, okay. And?
I really enjoyed it. It was really weird. It's a weird film. If you had to ask me what time period the movie takes place, I would say yes, because I have no fucking idea. It seems Victorian.
I thought Victorian, but
it seems Victorian, but it's also modern. It's really hard to explain, because at one point it's very Victorian like, and then all of a sudden you see like flying like motorized blimps or something, and you're like, but they're like look futuristic, and I'm like, wait, what? Where are
almost
we?
Like that kind of like steampunky
kind of, but it was there was no like what's the word? Like there was no like coal chimney or like it like obviously ran on something really it looked like it ran off electricity and it was like hovering in the air,
right.
So I was just like, where are we? And it never really gets explained. However, the cinematography is beautiful, minus they have this like panoramic like fishbowl lens, and they use it so often it is jarring,
right?
But Emma Stone, like, no wonder she got the Oscar for this role, because it is kind of incredible to see. I'm not going to spoil it, but the movie is basically Frankenstein, but
with
the themes of Barbie.
Okay.
Is the best way I can describe it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That's what Alan had said. He saw some people comparing it to Barbie, and I was like, I definitely get the themes. It's definitely not Barbie by any means. It's very dark tone, very serious movie. But there's some comedic elements because of like the Frankenstein of it all. But it is really interesting. And Emma Stone's character was just a delight to watch. Seeing her journey over the 2.5 hours of the film was really great. And yeah, it was just beautiful to watch. Like I said, the cinematography was just gorgeous. And Mark Ruffalo is a mess in the movie. I love Mark Ruffalo, but his character is a mess.
Oh, no.
So that was fun to see. But yeah, I do recommend it. It's I could see me watching it again, but it's definitely not comfort movie level or like, hey, the friends are over, let's put on Poor Things.
Yeah.
It's very like avant-garde.
Yes.
But it was really enjoyable. I really liked it.
Okay.
So if you like strong women themes and a twist on like the Frankenstein story, Frankenstein's monster story. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Okay.
And then the last thing is just the Taylor fiasco. And then I've got a bit of a rumor that I wonder if you've heard. So I'll see if you've heard of that.
Probably not.
But okay. So like we were talking last time. that we were like, oh my god, is Reputation gonna drop on the on March 15th? That's the Ides of March. LOL. Because nothing happened.
We were getting really ramped up as well the day before, weren't
yes.
we?
Yes,
were just feeding each other.
We were. So much was happening, and there was just so much 315 stuff, and it's not as big of a letdown as 1126.
No.
But it's pretty fucking close.
But it still hurts a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, nothing was announced. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, unless you have anything else to add, that's really all I had to say is nothing happens. I was kind of hoping something would happen today, because today is the 1 year anniversary of the Eras Tour starting when we're
really?
Recording this. Yeah.
I mean, something could still happen.
Something could still happen.
It's still early for you.
Yeah, for me.
Relatively early here as well.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Maybe she'll announce something later.
Could the 315s mean something else? Or do we just need to let it go? Like,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was that insider that had leaked the Poets track list like 3 weeks before Poets was even announced. They had said that Reputation was coming in September. And coincidentally enough, 3 + 1 + 5 = 9. So maybe that points to September. I don't know.
Yeah, true.
But because we have been getting like, it's not in our heads. Like the 315s are screaming at us.
Oh, and what happens if it's the 20th of September? Because do you remember the little pocket watch was an 02 and the 2 looked like a snake?
Oh, that's true. Okay.
And the 20th of September is a Friday.
Okay. I can buy it. And I think if that's the case, I think that it would probably get announced in June, which seems kind of soon, considering that Poets will have only been out for 2 months. But I mean, she's done crazier Ooh. Stuff before.
Oh, so. My God. Okay, right. She's got so many opportunities for September, because we've got Friday the 6th of September. So,
okay, love that.
You know, Friday the 13th of September.
That would be
Friday
amazing.
Or Friday the 20th.
I like that. See, Reputation in September, even though it's like
right before October.
Fall, yeah, but that I can buy that. I can get down with that.
Yeah. Okay, so wipe the slate. We're focusing on September.
Yeah, September does, I think, make the most sense, especially with that insider being right about the entire fucking track list. And they're like, yeah, reps coming in September. That's kind of what I've been just like holding on to.
Who
and
is we'll just this insider happens.
I don't know. It's
up.
Joe Allen. Just kidding.
Is it? I think it's Travis's mum.
Oh, Miss Donna.
She's just okay. Like, fuck this bitch. I'm just going to ruin that. Her.
Oh, God.
Being her monster-in-law.
Not monster-in-law. Not Donna Kelsey being Jane Fonda. I love it.
I do like the idea of it being Joe as well.
Yeah. But the thing that I heard, this happened, I think, yesterday. Some fans were out. Don't ask me where, because I don't remember. But some fans were out, and they saw Scott Swift out and about. And so... They went up to him and, you know, they were conversing or whatever. And they were asking him about Poets.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this is my favorite album that Taylor's ever done.
Oh, yeah.
And which sounds pretty standard. And he was like, it's going to be really special when it comes out. And they said, the fans asked, do you have any favorite tracks? And he said, the title track and Florida.
Oh.
So the title track, the Tortured Poets Department, track 2. And then track 9, 8. It's really sad that I almost have it memorized already, which is Florida, which is the Florence and the Machine collab.
Yes.
So, interesting choices.
I'm taking that whole emotion with a huge pinch of salt.
Wait a second. Wait a second. I need to know right now what track number Florida is, because if it's 9, then something just popped up. It's 8. Okay. Well, I was going to say if it's 9, he listed tracks 2 and 9, and you had just said the whole thing about September.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, but it's track 8.
Right. Okay. I was going to say that would have been 2 on the nose. And
just, yeah,
I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, I don't believe it anyway, but I definitely would.
Track 9 is guilty of sin, by the way, so there you go.
Okay.
I just remembered I had this dream last night that Taylor released, like, it wasn't like a blank edition like she's been doing, but it was an edition of Poets that gave us 4 extra songs.
Oh.
And you had to buy them. I remember in the dream going on the website, and there was 4 different ones that you had to buy to get all of the bonus tracks, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I fucking have to buy them. So that was, oh, I meant to ask you about this. So you know how we were talking last week about the whole Phantom Clear Target exclusive vinyl of Poets?
Yeah.
I can't remember if we've talked about this, so remind me if we have, but the standard edition, or the manuscript edition of the album, do you know what that vinyl is called?
No.
The Ghosted White.
Oh.
Yeah, as in, but if he's a ghost, then I could be a phantom.
Yeah, I can be a phantom. Fuck.
And I'm like, that seems so fucking deliberate as hell.
Fuck.
Because pairing Phantom and Ghost, and then the only white pressing albums, I can't with that.
Oh my god.
So the rep hints, Taylor Nation just posted a like a promo for the Disney Plus movie or whatever, and it's all rep. They're using rep like fucking crazy.
What
to promote
is going
the movie.
On?
And I can't just idly buy and like explain it away, you know?
No.
It's like they are repping so hard.
And that whole, if you think about that whole thing where the shop went black and the password was lyrics from, like, what? Come on.
Yeah. It's, and see that stuff like that, stuff so deliberate and so close to Poets coming out, makes me think that rep's right around the corner. But like, based on like the insider stuff that we have, it's not coming until the fall, which is fine, but it's like, why are they pushing it so hard before Poets? It's just weird.
Unless right, hang on, what date does Poets come again?
19th of April.
19th.
Like, unless she drops rep on the eclipse April 8th, that I could see that, but that would be in fucking sane, because that's literally less than 2 weeks before.
Oh my god, hang on, hang the fuck on.
Okay, I'm hanging.
Delulued myself.
Sometimes Delulu is the Salulu. Okay.
You're seeing, anybody listening, you're just like catching the way our brains work, the way we'll make anything fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you remember the coffee cup?
Ugh,
what were the hands pointed at?
8 and 2.
Uh-huh. So next Friday, we get a double. We get Friday the 22nd, so we get a 2 and a 2. Yeah?
Okay, yes.
Because we've been seeing a lot of doubles.
We have been. The doubles have been in out of fucking control.
It's exactly 28 days before Poets.
Okay, I can buy it.
So you're picking up what I'm putting down.
And she also put in that Instagram post where we were like, oh, she's clearly re-recording rep because of the dollar bill in the background. She held up double threes, March, double twos. I could see the connection there too.
Because she's also been having, do you remember back in like October, November time when we were like at the height of our Delulu?
Yes.
And
always.
She was always posting like 2 hearts. A black one,
yes.
And a blue one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I need to find out what's happening on Friday the 22nd.
Also, August 2nd is a Friday.
Really?
So, yeah. So that's interesting as well. There's so many dates. There's so many dates you could like,
oh, I
talk
know.
About.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Annoying. There's also June 6th is a Thursday, but the reason I'm pointing that out is because if she announced, like, hey, Rep's coming out either tonight or, you know, whatever, June 6th, 24 all adds up to 6, like 6-6, mm-hmm. 2 plus 4 is 6, 6-6-6, which would be iconic to announce it that day, honestly. The devil in me loves that. But, oh my god, I really like this March idea, 28 days before poets. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so that's like a 2 and an 8. Like the coffee cup.
Okay. Hey. I like it. I like it.
And the zodiac sign for that day is Aries. And of course she was dressed as a ram in the calm music video.
Stop. She had that right goat. Now.
I shan't.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm back.
We've pulled each other. Just, I mean, it doesn't take much for it to get us
it
going.
Really doesn't. It. Does not take much at all, but I'm here for it. Honestly, I just feel like at this point, it's going to be an entire year of Rep clowning before we even get the Rep announcement.
We're going to be so exhausted by the time Rep comes.
Yeah, but honestly, like when I was listening to Rep the other day, I was just like, it just re-solidified, like, this is the Taylor album for me. Like, I love it so much. Yeah. And thinking about the re-record is just, it's going to transcend me, honestly. It's going to be wild. And I'm so excited for it.
The birthstone for that day, there's two birthstones for that day as well, which one's aquamarine and the other one's bloodstone.
For the 22nd?
Uh-huh.
Wait, isn't the 22nd also the first day of spring?
It is, let's have a look.
First day of
the
spring.
fourth day of spring.
Oh, yeah, this says March 19th. Okay, interesting.
It's also World War Today, apparently, whatever that is.
You know what? Let's see what days. March 22nd, national holidays. Let's just look. We know that Taylor does this sometimes and uses it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just further Salulu our Delulu. Okay, National Goof Off Day. No, I don't think that's it. Not Gryffindor Pride Day. Hufflepuffs only, thanks.
Yes, we're both Hufflepuffs. Yeah. Thank you.
Talk Like William Shakespeare Day.
Okay.
Interesting. World Water Day.
Yeah, what is that?
I have no idea. It says World Water Day aims to bring water aid to people who truly need it across borders. Okay, well, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Everyone needs water to live, so that's good. Not National Donald Day. nothing's really poking out at me for this day.
No.
Not that that necessarily means anything, but all right, well, I guess we're Delulu for another weekend.
We are.
Let's just when we thought we were safe, we
literally just said, let's just hang back till September, and then we found a way out of it. Because we just love it. What we can do once Rep's released, that's it.
I know, honestly. Oh, God.
Mm. Oh, by the way, talking about dreams, I had a dream the other day, and Judith was a kitten, but it was still Judith.
Yeah.
And she had little bat wings, and it was very cute. And I was trying to help her learn to fly, and I was like lifting her up off the bed and like throwing her in the air, and then she was just kind of like floating down. And then the dream progressed, I won't go into it, but she turned into just this like muscular man with big bat wings. And I woke up, and I was thinking, I've been reading, like, Justin and I have been talking about Monster Porn way too much.
Not Judith turning into a hunky fucking monster.
Well, she was kind of like this she-male.
Oh, okay.
But with bat wings. And I was just like, we need to chill.
Ah, that's so funny. Oh gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned to see if our Delulu comes true, Lou. You know how we do here.
We all know it won't, but
we know it won't, but you know what? It's fun. It's fun to live in delusion sometimes.
It is.
All right. Should we get started on Rose and Blood?
Yeah, let's do it.
So today we're reading chapter 12, which features Levi just looking really hot, leaning against the doorway. And I love his jacket because it's got like these intricacies on them that are like matching this like sliding door thing he's leaning against.
Yeah.
The gloves. He just looks hot. I don't know what I'll tell you.
And he's got one. Oh, no. I thought he had one leg up, but he doesn't at all, so ignore it. Forget it.
Oh, okay. And he looks sweaty. His hair looks wet. And I'm just like, oh, that's so hot. anyway, I don't know what else to tell you about that. What was a refresher from last time? Stella thought that somebody was stalking her, and we knew it was Gilbert.
Yes.
She kind of attacked Yol because she thought she was being stalked, and Yol was like, I want to tell you something. And he basically was like, I'm in love with you. And she's like, oh, I love you too.
Yeah. And he was like, you don't get it.
He's like, no, I'm in love with you. And she's like, I'm in love with things you do too. You're so sweet. We both love things. That's why we're good friends. that happens. Frederick and Levi are still having like this battle for Stella's attention. Mm-hmm. And then Gilbert showed up at the end and he told Stella not to trust Yol.
Yes.
And that he would come back to the manor and save her. And then the last thing we saw was Yol heard everything that Gilbert told Stella. And so that's the little recap. We start this chapter with Levi in town because Yol told Levi last chapter to go, if he really likes Stella, to go buy her something nice in town. But I feel like Yol was just like, get out of the house so I can tell her I love her.
Yeah, completely.
Clearly. So we start with Levi in town. And it looks like he's at one of these shops. And he says, excuse me, miss, how lovely to meet someone like you on a day like this. It's like, uh-oh. Is he shopping for Stella or is he shopping for dinner? And he's looking at this woman who seems very blank. We don't really see her. She's just like silhouetted in black. But it does look like she's wearing some nice jewelry. And Levi's thinking, she seems happy, but has a trace of sadness. An appropriate appearance. Which, what a way to describe someone. You have an appropriate appearance.
That's just a slap in the face, isn't
it? And then he's thinking, glassy eyes, red cheeks, low alcohol tolerance. She would have been the perfect candidate to crystallize. And then it looks like he's holding up like a little goblet of, I don't know, some type. Well, he did mention alcohol, so some type of alcohol. He seems like a Chablis type of guy.
Funnily enough, he does. Yeah.
That's what I picture. And she's thinking, or he's thinking, she's hoping for some excitement. And he says, is this your first time at a place like this?
Oh, Levi, get some better lines. I mean, I know you're pretty, but
you need to work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
And he says, I must say, you seem rather bored.
Yeah, by your shit pickup.
And he's thinking, there, she's holding eye contact. And I guess she explains something to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, really? What an awful guy, leaving you all alone. And he like stares at her intently and says, is that why you're starting early? It's like, uh-oh. And I guess he's like trying to enamor her or something.
Mm, yeah.
And he's thinking, it's so easy. Doing this makes me sick. And he's thinking, I hate to use you to test my heart, but so he's doing this because he's so lovesick over Stella.
Yeah, and he's kind of probably thinking like, oh, why is Stella getting to me so much? Like, what's so special about her?
Yeah, I can do this with anybody kind of thing. He's trying to test that. Okay. So he's thinking, tell me. And then he says to her, as he's like, it almost looks like he's about to cut his lip with one of his pointed fingers. But he says, if liquor isn't drowning it all out, why not taste something sweeter? Talking about his duke. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so he's he looks like he, like I said, he looks like he's about to draw blood from his lips so that this woman can drink his blood. And he's thinking, how is the person before me different from Stella? And he leans in and he's like about to kiss her. Mm-hmm. But he pauses right as he's about to kiss her. And he's thinking, my heart is in control. And then the next thing we see is he's strangling her. Is he not?
Yeah.
He's like strangling the shit out of her.
I'm assuming he's taken her somewhere because...
Yeah, because it looks like they were in like a bar or something.
Yeah.
And now they're like in the forest or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Levi?
So he's choking the shit out of her. She is not struggling at all, by the way. Maybe she's like, I don't know, maybe his blood like numbed her or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it must have.
And he's thinking, the conviction that I've done it, my prey always, or no, whoop, my prey awaits my fangs. This is a hunt. So he strangles her. I'm assuming he doesn't kill her, but... Sure. He leans down and whispers in her ear, sorry, thank you. And then he's thinking, this is just lips brushing a cheek. With Stella, it's more like dot, dot, dot. And then he starts to think about Stella and their exchanges, their kisses. And he's thinking, a trembling from my body's core, an electrifying numbness spreading through me. Kissing has become something new since knowing Stella. Mm. So... Even though he's still trying to find a victim for their consumption, which also makes no sense to me because isn't Stella their fridge now? So like, why is he?
Yeah, but he also has been refusing to.
Oh, that's true.
Drink from her.
True.
But don't they have like loads of backups?
You would think so. Just pop a Pez. I think he'll be all right.
I mean, just look at that room that Gilbert has, just full of crystallized women.
Exactly. So I'm not sure.
Anyway, yeah. But maybe he just enjoys the hunt and he's using it as an excuse to kind of test his feelings on Stella.
Right.
Because it doesn't look like he doesn't look like he's crystallizing this woman. He's just, using her to test himself.
Yeah, exactly. So next we see Levi walking through town and he's like wiping his mouth. So I'm assuming he got a drink. I'm assuming. But he's clip-clopping along and he's thinking, I want to see her. And he's, of course, talking about Stella. Mm-hmm. And then he flashes back to when Frederick had said, looking at it that way, is that even really love? Talking about like Frederick's observation of his and Stella's exchanges.
Yeah.
And I just love Levi being like, bitch, yes, it's love. And he's like, I can feel it in my body. I can easily answer now. And then we get a flashback panel of him seeing Stella on top of Frederick in the garden. Before he had ripped Stella off of Frederick and be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Levi's thinking, seeing her yearning for Frederick that night outraged me, even though I knew those weren't her true feelings. And then he's thinking, it must have been that emotion called jealousy. And then I love this. I fucking love this. He's so lost in his thoughts that he thuds to his knees in the middle of this busy, like, walkway in town. Mm-hmm. So overcome, he's like, I have to be the main character for a second. And he's down on his knees, head in his hands, and he's just like, oh, I can't take it. And he's thinking, how can I be so pathetic? I said horrible things to her. And as he's on the ground, he says out loud, curse it all. And people are looking like, what the fuck? I love the guy with the question mark bubble above his head. He's like, what the hell is wrong with him? And then he shouts to the sky, I should buy bread. I love how absurd this shit is because he's in such inner turmoil about his emotions and he's like, I should buy bread.
But he's got, he's gone into, bless him.
Oh, I love it so much. So So then I guess he gets off of the cobblestone and gets his shit together, hopefully. And he goes over to, what is this place called? Gregory? Yeah, Gregory. And
oh, I wonder if that's like Greg's the Baker's in the UK. Sorry, I'm joking. There's a bakery in the UK called there's a bakery in the UK called Greg's, and it's and there's a bit of a running joke about it because they just it's like almost like fast food but a bakery.
Ooh, I love
anyway,
that.
Just seeing this bakery called Gregory just reminded me of Greg's the Baker's.
Hell yeah, I love the sound of a fast food bakery. Sounds like my wet dream.
It's all the food is just really, they do a lot of bakes, like, and so the have you ever had a sausage roll? Do you have sausage rolls over there?
We don't really have that. I've heard of them, though. I've heard they're
amazing.
Yeah,
they do a lot of sausage rolls, and they're almost like really sausage meat in a, in like a sort of like pastry, flaky pastry, but they're really heavy and greasy and just dirty and amazing.
Oh, I love that. Some of my favorite words in there. Yeah. Well, sounds great.
We're definitely going to Greg's. We're definitely going to Greg's. I want you to try a Greg's sausage roll.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And I know you're not a fan of sausages, but you've got to think they're not like sausages.
I mean, I don't mind. I prefer sausage to bacon, at least.
Right. Okay.
So I think I'll be all right.
Okay.
Anyway. So
he goes into Greg's the Baker's.
Levi's going to Gregory, and he's passing by some, you know, people. And there's this little girl who's like, "Mom, buy me some bread." And he's watching this like little girl with her mom, and he's thinking, I suppose Stella would be leading a normal life like that if she hadn't come to the mansion. So first it was the manor, now it's the mansion. But
she wouldn't have been, considering her parents are dead. So
right, exactly. Oh, this is that chapter. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. So then he sees through the crowd, he sees you know, a not tall but like a woman who's stature looks very similar to Stella with long blonde hair from the back, and he's like, Stella? And he walks by, and he already bought the bread, so he was leaving Gregory's, and he already bought Stella some bread, and he's thinking, no, of course it's not her. But then he hears a guy come up to the woman and go, Stella? And Levi's heart drops, and he turns around, and he's thinking, did he just say Stella? And there's this really handsome guy with like dirty blonde hair coming up to this woman, and she turns around, and the guy's like, oh, I beg your pardon, wrong person. And Levi's staring at this guy, and he's like, does that man know Stella? Because he just thought that he just yelled out Stella in this crowd.
Interesting. To a woman who looked like Stella.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like this guy is looking for her too, maybe?
Oh my goodness. And Levi's watching this guy and thinking, perhaps he knows another side of her, one that I don't. Dun, dun, dun. But he continues to walk along. He's like leaving. Which if he really wanted to know that much about Stella, I would have probably, you know, asked the guy some questions, but that's okay. So they're going in opposite directions, and Levi is thinking, no, the past is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But then suddenly they're walking the same direction. What is this?
No, he turns around. He turns around because he changes his mind.
Oh, he turns around. So he turns around. He starts to follow the guy with the dirty blonde hair, and he's thinking, I know it doesn't matter, but, and is, I'm not sure if this is the man or if this is Levi.
No, it's Levi.
Okay. Levi says, might I be able to help you? And Levi is thinking, I want to know. So he's like, I'm going to investigate this guy who called out Stella's name if he knows my Stella. So they go to like a little park bench, and this guy is explaining how he knows Stella. And he says, Stella left to work at a mansion, but when I visited, she wasn't there. I was told she never arrived. Because if you remember all the way back to chapter one, she was in a carriage on her way to be a maid somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then her carriage got attacked, and then that's how she ended up at the manor with the boys. And we see Levi and this guy sitting together. And Levi just says, so... And the guy says, she's missing. And Levi is just kind of like, oh shit, how much do I say? How much do I reveal?
Mm.
And he says, may I ask what your relationship with her is? And the guy says, she was my fiance. Uh-oh. Oh, Levi is shook, shaken, and stirred. But what I love about this is Stella's memory hasn't been fucked with. She has never, like, indicated that she had a fiancé out yeah. there in the world. And she's been macking on Frederick and Levi. So it's just another interesting layer to Stella. Like, it's definitely. Almost like once she got to the manor, her entire old life did not exist anymore.
Yeah.
She just was like, this is my life now, and that's all that matters.
It's so it's
interesting.
Was she trying to escape something?
Yeah.
Did she just, you know, meet these new guys and she was just like, well, I've just upgraded. Yeah. Like, what was going on?
Although I will say, I think this guy is very cute. He reminds me of Lloyd from Spy Family.
Okay.
The way he's like drawn. And you know, I love a good dirty blonde. So, you know, what can I say? I have a type. But Levi is still floored by the fact that this guy is claiming to be Stella's fiance.
Mm.
And the guy says, yes, we were supposed to be together. I loved her. And all Levi's thinking is, fiance? He's
yeah.
like, what the fuck? And he's thinking, Stella had a place where she belonged. I'm keeping her from it. And I love this imagery of Stella behind the window as he's thinking this. And then we see Stella's like ankles wrapped around rose thorns, almost like yeah. she's a prisoner. Oh, I love it. It's so good. And Levi's thinking, she could be in love, leading a normal life, and I've taken that away. And this amazing side-by-side of Levi and this guy, which, do we get his name in this chapter? Because I do remember his name, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Let's...
Yeah. Okay. So we see this side-by-side of Levi and this guy, and then Stella in the middle, but, like, the back of her with, like, roses and her hair flowing. Gorgeous. And Levi's thinking, the person who held her hand, who she smiled for, who wanted to be by her side forever, is the man before me. He can give her what I can't, a happy life as a human. I can't offer her that. So now he's like, shit, I've already been feeling all these confusing feelings about Stella and like what she, her role at the manor. But now he's like realizing like, shit, she had a life and we took her from that because they already admitted yeah. that they attacked the carriage. So he's just like, fuck, like I really didn't think about her life and the people in it. So the guy says, you don't happen to know something, do you? And Levi's like, huh? And he's says, you know, where Stella is. And Levi's thinking, and yet, as in like, he's thinking, yeah. this guy can offer her a normal life and I can't, but yet I can't bring myself to like disrupt what we have at the manor.
Mm.
And so he tells him, I'm afraid not, but I'm sure she's off living happily somewhere. And he's thinking, I won't tell you. And then we see this image of like Levi grabbing Stella from behind with roses around them. And Levi's thinking, I won't give her up to anyone. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut back to the manor, and I'm not sure who's saying Frederick. I think it has to be Levi, because we see Frederick lounging on a couch with a book covering his face.
Yeah.
As he's like, almost like he's nodding off. And we just hear, Frederick, Frederick, and then, hey. And Frederick lifts the book off his face and he's like, huh? And he sees Levi's ugly mug staring down at him. And he's like, oh, it's you. And he sits up a little bit and he was like, I was hoping our little bunny had come to wake me up. I love now that he's calling Stella our little bunny.
Yeah.
And he says, you're back from town? I don't want to see your grumpy-faced first thing. And Levi just says, I ran into a guy that I didn't care for. And Frederick says, that's nice. And leans back down and puts the book back over his face.
He really doesn't give a shit.
He really does not. And I love it.
I know. I adore him.
And he says, anyway, that's nice. Thanks for letting me know. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so funny. So he's thinking, ugh, he's my toy who turned into a sourpuss without my permission.
Mm-hmm.
And then he feels a shudder because Levi grabs his arm and it looks like he's about to bite the shit out of him.
It does. I think he is.
And that's when Frederick stirs and he's like, hey, Levi, settle down. And Levi's not stopping. He's like, bitch, I'm gonna get some of this blood. And Frederick's trying to fight him off, pushing his face. He's like, stop, Levi! And then he shoves his face again and says, what do you think you're doing? And with Frederick's hand still on his face, Levi says, I want to see inside Stella. Which, choice phrase. We love that.
I know what he means, so.
Yeah, yeah, same. And then he, like, gets on top of the couch to get on top of Frederick. This is my dream come true. and Levi says, so give me your blood.
Yeah, because their blood's intertwined now, Frederick and Stella. So
yeah,
he's
exactly.
Thinking, if I get a taste of it, I'll be able to maybe understand her feelings a bit more, mm-hmm. and what's going on in her head.
And maybe even her past a little bit, which was triggered by meeting that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He gets on top of Frederick, which, again, is a sight for sore eyes. And Frederick's like, forget it. There's no way I'm letting some dude bite me. But you could try it. And I love that Levi just says, then I'll use a knife. Like, he's like, I'm getting that blood, baby, one way or another. And Frederick's like, what are you saying? That'll hurt. And then Frederick's like, wait, what did you say you wanted to see? And there's this lovely flashback panel of when Levi was in the soul coma and Stella had gone inside of it to retrieve Levi. And Levi says, I want to use your blood to see into Stella's soul. Into Stella's soul. God damn it. Into Stella's soul. It was a tongue twister for me for whatever fucking reason. To see into her soul as she did mine, or as she did with me. I want to see what happened in her past. And Frederick says, it's not so simple. You know she should be the one to share that sort of thing after she's able to process it. And I just love that we cut to Stella, who's like, la, 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 washing a window.
I love that. Every time she's doing their job, she's always washing fucking windows.
Literally. She is window washer number one.
Yeah.
And Levi says, I don't need you telling me that. After all, you sent Stella into me. And Frederick looks up and says, and? Was she able to open your door of secrets on her own? And Levi's thinking, you don't have to hide anything from me. Oh no, this is Stella. Stella telling this to little Levi back in the soul place. And she was saying, you don't have to hide anything from me. I'll accept everything. So because Levi is silent and reminiscing, Frederick gets a smirk on his face, as Frederick tends to do. And he says, you want some of my blood, hmm? And then he's like, feeling the anger and defeat will dull your rationality. And Levi says, I know. Of course I know that. And then he's thinking, but how else can I suppress these feelings? So it's interesting to me that he is like, it's almost like he's saying he wants to know everything about Stella's past so that maybe it'll shirk some of the feelings that he's feeling for her. Almost like if he knows too much, he won't be able to attach himself to her, which sounds crazy to me because if you know more about a person, I feel like it's the opposite.
Yeah, but maybe because now he's met this guy who, you know, sort of claims to have been her fiancé, he's kind of thinking if he knows more about their relationship, maybe.
Oh, and their love even. Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense.
Although, but then at the same time, he was like, I'm not giving her up. But then maybe he's trying to be rational and it's like, well, maybe if I see what how she shared with this guy,
maybe
get
I'll
their
want
backstory.
You. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, that makes Who knows? Sense. We're just trying to understand the man.
Mm-hmm. So Frederick gets up from the couch and says, if you're feeling conflicted, better to give up this idea. And he just leaves Levi on his knees in front of the couch. And Levi's thinking, it makes no sense. I know that, but, and, as Frederick is leaving the room, Levi says, if things go wrong between me and Stella, it would be to your advantage. So why are you stopping me? And Frederick just turns back around and gives him a blank face. And Levi says, oh, I see. If Stella and I aren't together, it's not fun for you anymore, is it? Tension. And Frederick turns back around and says, seriously? That sounds so childish. I'm not sure what's bugging you, but can you cool off? He's almost like, anyway, sweetheart, calm down.
Yeah. Oh, I love my Frederick.
And then Frederick closes the space between them and he says, revealing the whole truth isn't always the right path, Levi. If it were up to me, I'd want to see the current Stella fully naked, you know?
And then he does that. I know he means like exposed as in like emotionally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Levi says, it's as if you think you know her better than I do. And Frederick says, naturally, I understand her quite well. So he's just pouring salt in the wound.
I know. I love how, I think it's interesting how Levi wants to dig into her past more, whereas mm-hmm. Frederick's just like, I just want the way she is now. Like, the past is practically irrelevant. Like,
yeah, I just want
to focus
now
on who she is in this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Very. Oh, I love this. The sexual tension in this chapter is doing things for me. Frederick reaches out and starts to stroke underneath Levi's ear, and I'm just like, just fuck already. Get it over with. But Frederick says, did you know that when you rub below her earlobe, she and Levi pushes full force Frederick in the chest to push him away from him. And Frederick's like, ugh! And he pushes him back up against a table and a book falls over. And oh my God.
They both tumble to the ground.
They tumble to the ground. Oh, this is a great chapter. They tumble to the ground. Levi on top of Frederick. Oh my God. Levi's such a top. And then he says, you're a completely hopeless man. And then the scene just transitions. And I love that because I want to know what happened after he tackled Frederick and was laying on top of him. I need to see that side story.
Yeah, I think you'll have to fanfic it in your own head.
You know what? I will. I'll fanfic it and it'll be rated E for explicit. Okay. So anyway, then we transition to Frederick in his room, and Levi. It looks, you're, God damn it, yes, thank you, Levi. Levi in his room, and he's pacing back and forth. It looks like he's staring at a blood vial, I can only assume.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like he's trying to determine whether or not he should drink it or not, which clearly he should because he's on fucking edge. But he grabs it. He grabs it off of like the dresser or table or wherever the fuck it is in his room. And then he's thinking back to Frederick's fucking face. And when Frederick says, I'll take good care of Stella, feel free to come at me for petty reasons. And Levi's like, ugh, because he's like, goddamn Frederick. And then he's thinking about the guy that he met and Stella. And he's thinking, what am I hoping to accomplish by seeing Stella's past? And he's thinking as he stares into the blood vial, maybe it's the same blood he used to like, or he was going to use to like pour into her. Remember when he took this liquid into his mouth and he was trying to pour it into Stella?
Oh yeah.
Maybe it's that.
Maybe.
He's thinking, if I do see a different side of her, what am I hoping to feel? I just want to love all of her. All of her, yet I'd stomp all over her will by using something like this. And he's talking yeah. about the vial.
It obviously is that then, because it's yeah. like it's almost like whatever the liquid is in there, it will like sort of take over her.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's thinking, using something like this to satisfy myself. And he thinks on it, he takes the vial and he smashes it on the ground and it cracks open and spills to the ground. Or no, he does it against the wall, because we know he loves throwing things up against walls. So mm-hmm. we gotta keep that character development along. So he throws it against the wall. And then he's like resting on his knees and thinking, calm down. Loving all of her isn't the same as knowing all of her. I should be able to love her without knowing everything. It's like, well, I mean, knowing things about her would, I think, help a little bit. But okay, I see where you're going.
Yeah, hopeless but then romantic. You could take the Frederick point of view. It's like, I don't need to necessarily know about her past to like enjoy her.
Yeah, true.
Currently.
And Levi's thinking, don't choke on pointless greed. And then out loud to himself, he just says, who says I'm pathetic? I just love that because literally no one's here, dude. No one's here. And then we get a flashback panel to young Levi with young Frederick. Maybe it's young Yol. Who knows? And they're on a bed with a girl.
Oh, no, that's, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, that's young Frederick and young Gilbert.
Yes.
because I forgot Gilbert used to have a bob back in the day.
Yeah.
So cute. And they're all just like laying on the bed together, and it looks like maybe some crystal candies are scattered around. And Levi's thinking, I really thought seeing inside people meant understanding them. I even pretended to have harnessed feelings of love I'd never actually experienced. And then he's looking back at the shattered bottle on the ground and thinking, I don't need any trickery. I just want to see Stella and hold her. No, first I should apologize for hurting her so deeply. And then he remembers, oh yeah, I bought bread.
Yeah, he's like, I forgot I went to Greg's. She's gonna love this.
He's like, that's right. I was screaming in the middle of the cobblestone walkway that I should buy bread. And so he sees the bread bag and he's like, that's right, I bought some bread. And he picks up the bag and he sniffs it because, you know, bread smells good. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, I want to see her devour it. It's like, okay, we're getting into a little kink territory there. Okay, Levi. And then he's like, he thinks better of it. And he's like, ugh, it's as if I'm bribing her. Because he wants it to be so natural, but he's overthinking absolutely everything.
He really is.
And I've never identified more than in that moment, because me. So then,
whereas I'm like, he just needs to just like get his thoughts grouped.
Yeah, yeah, that would be helpful. So we see him walking down one of the hallways of the manor, and he goes to Stella's room. Imagine that. And he knocks on her door. Stella opens it, and she's in her like her little nightgown again, looking very booby. Good for her.
She is, yeah.
And he's in like his he's taken off most of his like his vest and his coat, and he's just in his like undershirt. And he's holding the bread, and she kind of looks dumbfounded. He's probably like, damn, her breasts are out. And she says, Levi. And he says, I'm sorry about the other day. I was jealous of Frederick. I'd never felt that way. I didn't understand it and wasn't confident about my true self. I lashed out at you. It was pathetic. So, bread? Oh, I love it so much. Oh, it's great. But she just, she peers into the bread bag and she starts laughing.
We're with you.
She starts laughing and he's like, oh, what? And she's just like, hee, hee, hee. And he's like, Stella? And she is just doubling over in laughter. And she says, this isn't fair, Levi. Okay, you're forgiven. It's like, what? But she's looking at all the bread, which looks very nice. I love how it's scored. But she says, after all, I can tell how you must have felt choosing these for me. And hearing that, hearing her like content over what he had picked, his heart starts to thump. And he's thinking, oh, I want to hold you.
All this over a couple of lives, who knew?
I know. And she launches into his arms to give him a hug. And he's kind of taken aback by it. And Stella says, I'm glad I wasn't the only one who wanted to make up. I'm so happy. And they pull apart from the hug. And he's thinking, Stella. He's enamored yet again. And then he's looking down at her with a shock. And she's like, huh? Levi? And she says, you're bleeding. And blood starts to drip from his eye down his cheek.
Damn.
Yeah, not good. And he reaches up and says, blood? And he, you know, he wipes it and looks down at his hand. And he's thinking, what the? And Stella says, are you all right? Did you cut yourself? And he's looking down at his hand where all the blood is. And he says, no, it stopped. And she says, has it? Let me see. And she pulls his face forward so she can inspect it. He's like, don't worry so much. And she's looking up into his face and says, I don't see a wound. And then, of course, their mouths are so close together now because of the inspection. And he reaches down. Or he reaches up to grab her face in his hands. And he pulls her in for a kiss. And they're kissing, his hands in her hair. And his heart is thumping. And he's thinking, oh, it's completely different. Talking about like compared with the other girls.
Yeah, definitely.
And he, wouldn't you know it, lightly pushes her up against the wall to keep kissing her. as he's thinking, I could die kissing you.
Oh.
And that's the end of the chapter. We end on a little romantic moment.
Yeah.
How loverly. This was very inside the mind of Levi chapter.
Oh, completely. It was just him working through his feelings. And I like the sort of the bookend of him, like, you know, why should it be so different with Stella? And he's testing out with that other woman.
Right.
And then by the end, you know, he comes to the realization, oh no, it is completely different.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Adventure for him.
Yeah. All right, what were your favorite parts?
Well, I love this kiss. Look at it. That panel is beautiful.
Gorgeous. I mean,
And I always love a good Levi and Frederick interaction. It's very cat and mouse between them.
Yes.
Loved Levi's main character moment of, you know, him sort of falling to the floor in the middle of the street and then deciding to pop to Greg Sebakers.
Yeah, I should buy bread. I love it so much.
And I'm intrigued to know more about this fiance, if he's going to pop up again.
Absolutely. Someone who's alive connected to Stella's past.
Yeah. What about
the
you?
The first person. Yeah, honestly, my favorite moment, Levi and Frederick on the couch.
Yes.
I want it so bad. And I'm not buying the whole, I wouldn't let a dude bite me.
You just haven't
found the right dude yet, Frederick. and I will do things. Anyway, that was my favorite part. I was actually kind of surprised that there was no Yol in this chapter.
Yeah, or
the way Gilbert. Last chapter ended. Yeah,
well,
or Gilbert.
Don't you worry, because the next chapter's coming.
Yeah, the next chapter does feature Yol on the front page, so hopefully we're going to get back to that whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see, like, what happens there, and if we get some explanation soon over why Gilbert said he needs to save Stella. But I really enjoyed getting to see, like, Levi's neuroses, because I relate a lot to it. Critical overthinker, pathological people pleaser, even. So yeah, I loved seeing that. And then yeah, just the end of the kiss. I and one of my favorite moments too, besides the Frederick and Levi tension, was him being like pouring out his soul, being like, I'm so sorry, I was an idiot, like I got jealous, like seeing Frederick with you, bread. He just like instantly goes into like, here's some bread.
And she loved it.
She did. She absolutely loved it. And it was just really cute. I loved it so much. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Sailor Manga. You can find me on the internet at JustinGray22 across Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And you can find us both on Twitter and Instagram at Sailor Manga Pod.
And you can email us at SailorMangaPodcast@gmail.com. And you can leave a rating and review if you feel so inclined. And yeah, I guess that's it. So we'll just say, with the blood of the rose,
we'll meet you at the close.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Too scary.
I guess just let me know, or actually I guess I'll know by the scream if you need to pause recording.
Oh, you'll know. Yeah. I'd like to think that my voice was an alert for it not to come out,
not to be around. Yeah
that didn't make a difference the other day, so yeah, this thing's got balls. It's like hey, what's up, bitch.
That's the thing about living in the country, I guess.
Yeah, no.
Because that's the thing about, like, I wouldn't mind releasing the mice that I've found in our house, but they would come back because, like, we're the only house around.
Oh, yeah, that I get completely.
That's the only problem.
Yeah, where the little, like, there's not much around us, but there's on our road, there's a lot of houses. So I just want to, like, offer it some other real estate.
Yeah. try this house. It's lovely modern mid-century.
It's a 3-bed rather than a 2, so you'd have your own room.
Stuart Little approved. It's got the Stuart Little Approval Award, you know.
Like Selling Sunset for mice.
Exactly.
Not that I've ever actually seen Selling Sunset, but I think
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.